Welcome to Crippled System, episode 198.
The
Why you just look so confused.
I know. I was looking for us. There we are. We're over there.
Yeah. We're over there. Yeah. We're also right here.
Yeah.
You can look around.
You'll see us. We're here. We're right now.
We might not be.
We could be talking about this conversation that we have like every 10, 20 episodes of how we'll see 5 seconds from now what just happened on the screen there.
My point was that we might not exist.
Oh. Are we going into that nihilist conversation now?
Well, I mean, you know, when you think about it, all your sensations are just input on your brain, and so they can be falsified with any kind of sufficiently advanced technology. You might not have a physical body or a reality at all.
We're in the situation.
Yeah, the brain in a jar.
Or the matrix. What the fuck did I just say?
We're in the situation.
Yes.
The situation room. Al Roker.
I meant to say the Matrix. I don't know how I ended up with the situation. We got a problem.
The situation? Isn't there like a wrestler that's called the Situation?
No, it's a Jersey Shore guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I know that? Why do you know that?
I just know he exists. I couldn't identify him out of a lineup.
Poofy hair and bronzer.
I guess if it was like one guy from Jersey and like four guys in suits, I might be able to identify him. But if you take like four, you know, Jersey schmoes, I couldn't tell any of them apart.
Yeah, that's probably true. There was him and there was Snooki.
Yeah, it's just names that
Jay
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. Like beyond names.
That.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, you know what we could do? We could give those away.
What, the Jersey Shore people?
Yeah.
I don't think that's legal.
Well, yeah, I think we even fought a war over that. We had the war to defend the Jersey Shore people.
I just smashed my phone. Ah, I smashed my phone.
And that's the podcast. Thanks for listening.
Save the phone. Sacrifice the knee. No, it's a brain in a jar. Yeah, you could just be a brain in a jar. And hilariously beyond that is that noise. That, you know, hypothetically, if memories are implanted. Andy's amused by the sight of his roommate.
No, I tried drinking the soda from this side of the can.
Oh, that's not how that works.
That's not how it works.
No, you should use the open side.
I had a very long, exciting weekend, so I'm tired.
Me too.
I might be tired.
Me too. Yeah.
Well, the people who came in from like JR and Alex and Meg came in Friday night, so I board gamed Friday night at the Shea's house with them, and then we board gamed all Saturday from, you know, dawn to dusk. And then before they left in the morning, we went coffee and like board gamed all morning. So it's been like a 85-hour board game session.
I went to Samba's this morning.
That's pretty good too.
I know it was birthday thing, but yeah. I wish you invited.
You can always go to Samba's on Sunday.
There's a lady eating by herself, and that's life. I don't want to be that guy eating by himself at Samba's.
Well, you can go anywhere. You have the inability to go anywhere alone.
I know. I can understand that there's a weirdness to going to a restaurant alone. Like, mm-hmm. I actually did have to actively overcome that once upon a time.
Movies, I can go it alone. I can do that by myself.
I can do movies. More times than not, people annoy me more than they don't. If you're eating alone, it's just peaceful. It's peaceful, and I need peace in my life.
But restaurants, I feel like I have to go with somebody else. It would feel weird to me. If I go there to get takeout and leave, then I'm fine. But if I'm going there to sit down and actually have a meal, I feel weird about it.
You need someone to hold your hand and stare into their eyes and go, I love you.
No, he doesn't want
all the other people to look at the pathetic, lonely man who doesn't have a date and he's just eating by himself.
Yeah, I guess there is no world where I give a fuck about other people.
Right.
There are like 9 people in this world that I care about. And if anything happened to them, I would feel emotions. Outside those 9 people, I could watch someone.
I'm counting our social circle, and if I get to like 10 or 11, I have to start figuring out who's cut from the
group. That's fair. It's not. It's definitely not all of our social circle. But if someone, I mean, this I know this is probably a problem with me, but if someone in my social circle that I liked felt pain or was in trouble, I would do anything. I would kill for those 9 people.
Sure. Yeah.
But
yeah,
person number 10, I could watch die and have no emotion inside me. That's fair. It would literally be like, well, no one, that's good. I wouldn't even think it's good, but it's like, well,
yeah, it happened.
Whatever. It happened. Life sucks.
Yep.
So it's weird. So I can't have I'm like a part-time sociopath outside of my 9.
What I have discovered is that I It turns out you feel that way within the 9-2. You just don't admit it until it happens.
Yeah, no.
Like, I've been to, like, family member funerals and be like, yeah, they're dead.
Well, I know.
Those people I loved. Yeah. It's just, like, my brain, like, it's like, oh, man, they're dead now. That sucks. Well, to some degree, we gonna go get tacos.
Yeah,
I mean, to some degree, though, it's. I mean,
is that what you're always thinking at funerals, just waiting for.
So I'm thinking all the time, everywhere. Yeah. Okay. All right, is this over? Can we get tacos now?
Yeah, and I get that to some degree. I mean, especially if a person was sick for a while, like an expected death, it's easy to get to that stage.
Sure.
It's the shocking deaths that are hard to get to that stage fast. But yeah, someone had a low painful thing. You're like, okay. Tacos.
Yeah, like during the death sequence, you know, like, yeah. Like, yeah, absolutely, weep and blah, blah, blah. But then once the funeral, like, yeah. happens, I'm just like, okay, cool. On with life.
Okay, so I was just sitting there thinking, it was like you were talking about, like, waiting for the death. Like, you're actually there holding the hand, and you yeah. feel the life pass from the body, yeah. and then you're like, tacos.
I'm confident that if I die...
Not right there, but...
If I die, I'm guaranteed a few people will be sad for a few minutes and they'll be erased from the board game collection. It'd be like, okay... That's why Katie has instructions to burn it all down.
I've actually thought for a while about how to divvy up my board game collection. Yeah. It's basically half you and half my brother. But I don't know which half yet.
Whoever's willing to... Whoever can follow through and just break in the hard drive without looking at it gets everything.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave my copy of Comet to Newbie.
That's fine. Oh, that was my neck. That felt good.
So, Jim.
You made the cut, Chris. As Chris asked, he was curious, he made the cut. Chris is in the 9.
What? Wow, I'm surprised Chris is in the 9.
I mean,
that's something you told us before the podcast. So Jim asks, does the restaurant thing apply to cafes with a bar? I mean, I can probably go to a bar alone. But I
sitting at a table.
Sitting, you know, at a table at a restaurant, in a booth by myself.
And someone's eating, like, in a bar. It's like, oh, there's that old sad bar guy just sitting there alone. That seems creepier to me than a bar.
I can go to a place that has high booth walls, like over at the O'Grady's that's down by here. It's got booth walls that go up. I can do that.
Sure.
It's just other people. I don't know. It just, to me, it just feels weird going to a place, sitting down and eating.
I got over that when I was driving home from someplace and I had a book that I had gotten like 95% done where I was. And then I was like, you know what? I want to finish that book. Yeah. So I pulled off the highway and just ate alone reading a book.
Yeah.
That I could do, though.
Yeah.
That's, I guess it's just.
Go to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Order for yourself, but make the plate and make it, and just like look over and pretend to talk to the person. That way, maybe someone will think you're like, you know, you're missing, you know, it's just like, you know, just having a conversation with nobody. Pull the chair out and just talk to.
I heard a good trick, which is that you act like you're waiting for somebody yeah. and get more and more and be like, have like a ring box and be dressed up nicely and just wait and wait and be like, no, just a little more. And then eventually they'll just pay for your meal because you're pathetic and sad.
Like just go there with a tux.
Yeah. Yeah. Tux and the ring box and everything. Like you're gonna, and then just be like, just, it's, maybe she's just running late, you know, and eventually they feel sad for you and they buy you your meal.
Could you put this in the milkshake? Oh,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, well, you know, there you go.
I don't care you alone. I can go through all the extra work for a free meal.
Good times. That was on 198?
Yeah, we're at 98.
Yay!
198.
That's 18 times 11.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it is.
It's science.
So we do have some kind of announcements. There's a tournament that's coming up next weekend over in Chicago. It's the second Saturday.
So this weekend?
This coming weekend.
Okay.
God damn it. 198 episodes and we still can't get that shit right.
I've had it right since episode one. Yeah. I don't know your problem.
Yeah, whatever.
Sky cake.
Tomorrow... We're going to be recording our first movie Pain Train of the season, of the year.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to make it, unfortunately. But
No. And it's probably for a good thing. But Guy Ritchie does good films at times.
Does the movie come out Friday?
It comes out Friday, but Marcus was giving away free tickets to go see King Arthur on today. Monday night.
Yeah, tomorrow, yeah.
So we got some tickets to that. I
mean, if I wasn't busy Monday night, I'd see it for free.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You guys are doing Gloomhaven.
Gloomhaven.
Otherwise, I would have invited some of you guys. Or invited you guys to go down and get free tickets from your Magic Movie Awards cards.
I think I've seen a movie. No, I've seen a lot of free movies. Never mind. I was trying to think like how many times I had free passes to movies, and it's almost always terrible. Because I saw Batman and Robin for free.
Well, yeah. I mean,
but I remember I saw the one for free.
That one wasn't expecting that to be that bad. I mean, Batman Forever wasn't that bad of a film. It was
not compared to Batman and Robin.
It was a masterpiece compared to Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
You were going to say something.
I was. I was staying on topic. We're doing announcements.
What?
Announcements.
I
was going to jump ahead of announcements, and I pulled back.
And then there's MomCon. That's happening 2 weeks from now.
Also, on next Saturday, there's a board game. Iron Board's having like a garage sale type thing where you can like rent tables and like sell stuff. All the tables have been reserved. I'm supposed to go in with someone at a table, but I haven't followed up with them in like 2 weeks. So.
Wait, what? What table? Garage sale? Who? What?
Iron Board on Saturday is doing a thing where they do it twice a year. Yeah. It's one of the. It's not actually Iron Board. It's a board game group in Madison rents out all the space that I'm and a person gets charged like $10 for a table, and then you can sell whatever you can fit on that table. You can sell over the course of the day.
I have a lot of cocaine.
Yeah, you could sell, yes. And it's all cash to you. So whatever you want to sell, so it's kind of a cool thing. I really
can I just lay down on the table.
So yeah. it's not a commission based.
No,
thing.
It's between you and the person who buys it, and there's like a few games that are just too big that I want to get rid of, but I don't want to like I'm not gonna put them on eBay because it's just too heavy or too whatever. Just
tell people around here.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I mean, I sold a lot of games.
When you have the commission wall, like, Iron Board always has that commission bookshelf.
Which is good for stuff. But, I mean, I've made hundreds. I mean, this year I've made hundreds of dollars. I haven't bought anything in months from Iron Board because I've been taking old games and I just can't transferring. Every three old games turns into one new game, which is an okay ratio.
Are you doing that? Can I give you a couple games?
I don't have a table. I'm supposed to be getting space on someone else's table, but I haven't actually talked to them in 2 weeks, so I may have lost my space that I've gotten.
Talk to the person because I have, like, three things.
Well,
like,
I mean, if I was enough space, it's. I mean, if there's any space left, it's going to be for me because I'm me.
I just have.
You should have joined the Madison Board Game Club, and then you could know all about it.
No, I don't join them.
But I didn't know there was one.
I've been skipping. Well, Thursday. It's a Thursday night group that goes on board, but I've been skipping. I've been board gaming Mondays, Tuesdays, Fridays, and sometimes on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. So I've been skipping the Thursday night board game town thing because I need a day to relax just a little bit. Just, like, catch up on my 20 hours of TV, which is my Thursday night. Work until 3 and then watch TV till 4 a.m. just to catch up on the week.
Yeah.
So I've been skipping them. So that's just another announcement. Or game swap.
Does the commission section I'm bored, is it store credit? Or you
store
have,
credit.
Yeah, okay,
store
they don't credit, just take, yeah. I thought maybe they just took a cut.
No. They used to do, some places used to do cash or credit. They just do pure credit.
Hmm.
But it's easier. I mean, it's not bad.
Sure.
And I buy enough board games that it's just, if I don't buy it off the shelf at, you know, PEG, I'll just get it and I'm bored via the trade, via the commissions.
Fair enough.
I can't think of any other events that are happening then.
I thought Rick was going to do a CID thing, but he never posted it.
He did actually finally post it. He is doing something on the 20th. I believe it's 20th of May. I believe it's at
That's
Pegasus.
That's when Muses, right?
No, theirs is the last
one. Theirs is actually, I was wrong. It's about 3 weeks from now. Okay. It's the 27th is, 26th, 27th, 28th, I think, is the Muse on Con.
Next Sunday is Mother's Day.
That's true.
Yep.
Which I'm surprised Muse didn't. Usually Muse, Iowa for like 5 years in a row ran some big like thing on Mother's Day. They kept doing like a 2 day weekend thing. Like they did like three of the Mayhem Cups on that weekend or whatever. They just kept overlapping Mother's Day.
For jerks.
They probably had Muse on Con scheduled for next weekend.
Yeah.
And then that's when somebody yelled at them.
Yeah. It is good they changed it from MomCon to MuseCon. I finally realized. There is issues with MomCon.
it made MomCon sense having it on Mother's Day. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was the wrong clientele that started showing up. Good times.
Then we have the Frankenstein event that's happening on June 24th.
Sure.
And that's pretty much all I can really think of right now.
I might run an event. I haven't run an event in forever.
Yeah. Yeah, you should.
And I was thinking, I actually was, I was, because we all kind of hemmed and hawed about maybe it would be interesting, maybe it wouldn't. And so I might do that two list, or you can take one list, but you get a specialist for doing it. Because that was actually kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, just, let us know.
And it was funny that everybody's like, you could break that instantly. And then they'd stop and go, well, actually. And that was an interesting response.
Well, we'll see if people can get over their CID problems. Which isn't really problems, it's mostly the internal proxy basis.
I can't.
It's like being on a peg. I've gone to peg now for 5 weeks and I've played 5 weeks of games and I've had a lot of fun. But man, it's like when you have like 4 hours of like
constant mummering in the background about the same topic for 5 weeks starts getting old. Whether I don't even care if it's tied anymore on
5 weeks, it's been 3 weeks.
It seems like five because it's been nonstop.
It has been nonstop.
Like talk about for 3 hours, 4 hours.
We had one person in our gaming group that was extremely excited about playing Mark III. Was having just finally started playing Mark III, started having a good time, and then just suddenly CID hits and shitstorm apocalypse.
This is week four of 2017. This is week three of the battle engines in week four. Like this
is this week three of the battle engines? I think it's week two of the battle engines. I've only done two sets of cards.
Well, I mean this like. Because the battle engines are dropping on Wednesdays, so the Wednesday that is inclusive of the calendar week we're currently in.
This is week three of Steamroller. Next week is week four. This Wednesday is week four.
No, that's my point. That's my point. We're coming up on, yes. Wednesdays are when the changeovers happen, so we are nearing the end. This calendar week will be the beginning of week three of battle engines, which is confusing, I guess, because the weeks are happening in the middle of weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
This Wednesday is week three of battle engines.
Because we play on Wednesdays, when I said this is week three, I meant functionally it is for us because it will be when we play on Wednesdays.
When we start, which is kind of convenient for us, at least.
But that's only for, people who have Wednesday game night. That's the truth.
Yeah. No, and Jeremy hasn't played War Machine yet. He's about to. He couldn't come down the last 2 weeks because of his work. Kind of had a conference thing, but good chance to start seeing him down there a couple times. Yeah, I've only been playing one game a week, and I could have played two once or twice, but I've been enjoying one game a week pretty well.
Yeah,
seems like the right. I play a game whether I win or lose. I'm in a good mood. I'm like, well, I don't need to double my. It's like I started and ended happy. That's good enough. No reason to push my luck. Not that I doubt it would be good, but I don't know.
2 weeks ago, I played two games and hated both of them. Then I quit.
Yes, that is a chain of events that happened.
Yep. Yeah. Five boosted dice minus sixes, and I had a total of one damage.
Yeah, that's about average.
Yep.
Numbers are true. Science.
Yep. And it broke me.
I've been having fun playing down on Wednesdays again. To answer somebody in the chat, somebody asked if it was Jeremy that was suddenly all gung-ho about it. No, it was Jim.
Yeah, well, that's why I said you wasn't around. I wasn't really going
to. Yeah.
It doesn't have a question mark, but to answer something else in the chat, 9, I guess?
No, we don't deal with math. Remember?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's an equation there: 6 divided by 2 (parentheses 2 + 1) (end parentheses). I mean, that's 9.
Yeah.
But why?
Well, you can't use math because we have to inappropriately associate that quote to Jason Souls because that's what people seem to do now.
The number 9?
No, just the fact of like we don't want measuring tools such and such and such and such and math to be an advantage in War Machine.
The movie 9?
No.
The 9s?
With the homunculi?
Ryan Reynolds is in the 9s.
Yeah?
No.
Reynolds is good. I like him in most things. He's good in the Waiting movie.
He's the only person.
Part of Waiting.
He is the only person I know about Waiting. When somebody mentioned Andy Milonakis the other day.
Oh, God. Remember when that person existed?
He existed. Somebody else posted something about him recently. Or said something about him recently.
Oh, my God.
I think it was at Board Game Day.
It might have been. You got to show more people Imperial at Board Game Day.
Yes, I do like Imperial. And what's funny is I got to play Louis the 14th, and I was like, yeah, I haven't played this forever. And then I went home and I just went on Board Game Geek because I do that after I play a game a lot of times. And I saw that this year a re-implementation of that game is coming out.
Oh,
so it's just kind of interesting. And it was rated 7.1 on Board Game Geek. Like I said, it's a surprisingly highly rated game.
Every time we play Imperial, and I didn't play this. I was playing Terraforming Mars. But it's funny that there's always something new we learn about the rules of that damn game.
This was fucking huge, too.
I can't even fathom the effect of that in the game, other than it's big. This is how the score gets counted was different than we realized.
Yeah.
Massively. But I mean, when you play it a certain way and everyone plays it way, it's not as bad. It wasn't like we gypped ourselves because we all played the same way.
Yeah, it accelerated the game a bit because every country was stronger, right? It helped every country. Even like Russia, who's mostly landlocked, because it encouraged them to come out through Turkey into the Mediterranean Sea.
I played Terraforming Mars for the first time in a couple months, and I forgot how much I need to play that game more.
Yeah, I hear you guys talk about that game a lot. I don't know if I would like it. I just,
How'd you like Roleplayer? I hear they browbeat you into playing that.
It was fine. Brian was trying to do other things at the same time. He was trying to teach the game as well.
Yeah, I was teaching him how to play. Kind of got him going. And I kind of just wandered away and got pulled into something else. Eventually, I got him. You guys are about halfway through, and then some other game started that I joined. I don't know what it was.
It was fine, except
Sushi. I played Sushi Go.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. The only issue was that Chris and I were ready to go on our turns, and Ben and Tim, was it?
Yeah, Tim,
we're not ready to go on their turns.
Yeah. So it was a sand timer.
Tim, he
played Terraforming Mars. He played Five Trees. He's one of the slower people I know for games, but he played both Five Tribes, which has the potential of the most paralysis as possible, and Terraforming Mars pretty quick, which surprised me. I mean, but I can see him not being as quick as he could, because really, role players only you pick a die and pick a card. It's not. I mean, that's it. And there's only you're only picking from one to four, so it's not like it's not like it's a huge variety. But
and somebody in chat says our mics sound like they maxed out often, but looking at our sound waves on the computer, we're nowhere near spiking.
Of course, his volume's on max. He's like, "What's happening?"
Yeah, he's got the headphones shoved into his ear canals.
No, it's probably the audio going out.
Yeah, but I can hear little spiky things.
Audio is different. Audio
your
streams
face is different.
Your face is different.
Your whole system's out of order.
Yeah.
Your mama.
Yeah. Bye.
Now Andy's gone. We can talk smack about him.
But we played Concordia this morning before the guys left. Alex had never played it. And everyone that played Imperial, that played Concordia, definitely said they liked both games a lot. And they really want to. I looked up the other games, the guys that developed those other games, and none of his other games are rated as high as those two games.
Sure.
But some of them are rated pretty good. But yeah, they just really. They have the same opinion. Everyone who plays the games, I think, has kind of the same opinion as they're just different enough from everything else that. And different doesn't mean better or worse, but they're different and still intriguing.
Yeah.
There's something about those games that have multiple paths to victory. Like when I play War Machine, part of what pulls me into miniature gaming is the flow of a game can change dramatically, and you have to be good at modifying how you play and how you react. You have to be good at reacting. You have to be good at planning.
Yep.
And all those things. And the board games that do that, it would draw me to them the most. And that's why I like El Grande a lot. I like both of these games a lot. Games where you need a plan or you're not going to win, but you need to be able to know how to switch your plan around and react. Like those,
right.
Those are the elements I want in a game, regardless if it's a miniature board game or whatever.
Yep.
And those games capture it extremely well.
Yep.
I did like Role Player, to finish my story. like I said, the only problem I had with it was just
Ben and Tim.
That's
your review of role players, that you hate Ben and Tim.
I don't hate them.
Wow.
But they definitely took a long time it's such a simple game. It's basically you strategically choose which turn you want to start going bidding on by getting the dice on there.
Yeah.
And then you should have a good idea of what's out there already. And we needed a little timer.
Man, has it really been a year and a half since there's been a Mayhem Cup? Grotz and Red Deer Albuquerque
in
January of 2016.
There was one in the Mayhem Cup was one at Lock and Load.
Yes,
so nobody engraved it.
I got the trophy back, and I made some inquiries as to who was supposed to have the name on there, and I never got the actual for sure name.
I love this whole side facing me just says Madison, Wisconsin over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And they had to cheat and put their name on the top even though they hadn't won it.
Yeah, they hosted the event, so I think it was because John doesn't understand how trophies work.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of like when Katie gave out some awards for a thing she did, and she just filled it all wrong. She just didn't understand the concept of awards. And
yep.
I think John Damaris didn't understand the concept of awards either. Because when you start the cup, someone wins it and you engrave it. Just because you started there doesn't mean you put your name there.
Yep.
I guess maybe he was cocky, decided he'd win, and didn't realize, you know, we were going to come and... What's the date on that? Because you can tell years we were good in Madison.
It's the 2010 and 11 and 12.
Yes, those were
half a decade ago. Yeah.
I think we were good about a year after that too. I think about 13 or so is when we got lazy. But
and that's it. We just got lazy. We're all good players. Well, not all of us, but most of us are good players. We just don't play enough.
To stay competitive, you just have to play a lot. And there's nothing wrong with that,
like,
but it's...
Pagani sucks, but he played so many games that he actually, you know, got decent.
If you play 50 games a month, you're going to win. I mean, you're just going to... you're in a different level of understanding the game when you play 50. You can't... It's almost impossible to someone surprise you with something when you know everything.
Yeah, and there's the adage, if you do anything for 10,000 hours, you'll be an expert at it.
So, and then when you're really competitive, and there's only a percentage of people who play that
much, and they stay that good.
Right, I'm also listening to something that you said like 5 seconds
ago. Oh, so my Pagani stab?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
All right, the audio should be better now.
Okay. But not the quality of the content.
No.
The content.
I got texted by one of our listeners asking if the feed was having issues. So I don't know what it was, but
The feed is fine. No. I mean, I just double checked it here. It's broadcasting, but
maybe he's drunk.
We appreciate the touch base, though. It's always good to make sure we're trying to do good.
It's for some odd reason every time. Well, because I don't have a dedicated system for broadcast, it keeps on adjusting the volume for the audio going out.
Those sons of bitches. Sons of bitches.
Yeah.
So are we on recommendations yet?
We're cutting this short?
No, this was all still announcements, but Brian almost jumped ahead of announcements, so I don't know if you had a thing.
I decided Bori went to talk about board games.
Oh, okay.
That was cool. Sort of my
hooray board games.
Yeah. We played a lot. We cooked out a lot and played a lot of board games.
I had to play the Firefly. I do want to set aside someday to just have 5 people marathon the entire series. I want to try the campaign mode on Legendary Encounters Firefly.
Oh, okay.
You played that, didn't you?
I don't think I played Legendary Encounters Firefly.
Did you play any of the Legendary Encounters? The Alien or the Predator?
Yeah, I did Alien.
One?
I did Predator.
Yeah, the Firefly one's cool. The most interesting thing about it versus Alien and Predator is you have the 9 characters of the series, and you make up the deck that you buy cards from 4 of those characters, and then you play as the other 5. And so, and the cards, like in the quests and everything, all of stuff, like, you know, the 5 that are being played as, even if you only have 4, like if the 3 of us were playing, we'd have our 3 characters, and then you have 2 other characters that you just set out on the table, you don't use their deck, and they're still considered to be the 5 characters that you're quote-unquote playing as. They're called main characters.
Sure.
And the quests have cards, like, something will come up, it'll say, like, if Mal is a main character, such and such happens. If Jane is a main character, such and such happens. If River is a main character, such and such happens. And they're each checked individually. So depending on what characters you're playing as, not only does your card access change, but the quests themselves do different things. So there's a lot of replayability by playing as different characters. There's even stuff like a really neat, just to show people, you know, game balance. Deck thinning is always huge in deck building games. Like, anytime you're allowed to take a card out of your deck and just throw it away from the game, it's the most powerful thing you can do in a deck building game. And there are 2 cards in Firefly that do that. One is a Jane card, and it's just, you know, kill a card from your discard pile. And the other one is a River card that says, if Jane is a main character, kill a card in your discard pile.
Oh.
And it means that you can't have access to both cards, because if Jane's card is in the viable deck, it means he's not a main character, which means River's card won't thin your deck. You know, they thought of game balance things with that mechanic, which is really cool. I think it's my favorite of the 3 Legendary Encounters, but they're all good.
Have you seen the person that modified their pop miniature or the pop toy?
Yes, the wash.
With the wash one. Have you seen it?
I can guess what it is.
It's just with a nice stake.
Well, I had my Darth Maul Qui-Gon Jinn Lego toys where I drilled a hole through Qui-Gon.
And cut Darth Maul in half.
Yeah.
No.
I just impaled Qui-Gon with Darth Maul.
Maul's saber. Okay. Yeah.
Darth Maul has robot spider legs now. Well, no, now he's dead again. But for a while, he had robot spider legs.
He had a good run on the both shows that he was on for a while after that.
Yep. I mean, it's nice that everyone who isn't George Lucas realized that that was a waste of a character.
Yeah.
And they
well, because on Star Wars, on the Clone Wars, they included the Night Sisters, and they had all sorts of mystical powers, so bringing him back wasn't that ridiculous based on what happened. And then
when you have a fantasy story, which, you know, it's not a sci-fi story. Yeah. Star Wars is fantasy. It's like The Hobbit. It's just in space. It is not sci-fi. It's wizards and swords and monsters. It's Lord of the Rings, but on spaceships instead of in a forest.
I consider sci-fi be more spacey, though, anyway. That's just...
Obi-Wan is just Gandalf in space. Like, there's no science in Star Wars. It's not science fiction. There's zero science.
Yeah,
it's just fantasy. It's fantasy in space. But whatever. Ooh. Nitpicking aside, the point is, it's a world of wizards and magic, so you can do whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. You don't have to justify it. Like, in a sci-fi, you have to be like, oh, his DNA and cloning and this and that. And in Star Wars, you just go, magic, wizards, pew pew.
Maybe that's the reason why everybody hates Episode 1. For that reason of trying to explain this force as a not just a mystical thing, as being it's just, you know, things that live in your cells.
Yeah.
Because every time I think of that, I think of Parasite Eve.
It's so dumb. Parasite Eve, which is a great game. But it's just so... It's dumb. Like, the only way I can stomach episode one is I have to do several things, and one of them is to convince myself that the Jedi are just wrong. Like, 2 years after those movies, the Jedi went, wait, Midichlorians don't do shit. It's unrelated entirely. Oops. And then just never spoke of it again.
I wouldn't even mind it if that had some, like, minor, like... Midichlorians may have speak something, but it wasn't that as relevant as they made it. You know, there could have been like, but it was just too unacceptable. But you know, I mean, like I said, but it's cool about like the Clone Wars and with Star Wars Rebels, they're able to kind of fix some of those things. And Star Wars Rebels is pretty fantastic. And it's got like 3 full seasons right now. And I think season 4 starts in a few months and it's like the final season.
Yep.
I hear
maybe it's not a few months, but it's like later this year, which is going to be the final season.
Is that all done by Gedi
No, Gedi Tartakovsky did the Clone Wars miniseries.
Okay.
And then they had a Clone Wars movie that he didn't do, and then a Clone Wars series off of that movie, and then now there's the Rebels series, but he just did that miniseries.
Okay. All right.
Which was fucking amazing.
The weird thing about the Clone Wars, a TV show, when it went like 6 seasons, and there's like 30 plus episodes out of order. Like, I don't know what happened in their filming of it, but like, you have like, there's like, it's like, some, you have to like, you have to like watch, if you want to watch it in order, you have to like, get a guide and just like skip around from here to there. It's pretty bad. The first few seasons are just all mismatched for some reason out of order.
And they didn't like fix it. It's not like Firefly where it aired out of order and then on the DVD it's in the right order.
I don't know what. I don't know the full details. I just know when, because John was rewatching Clone Wars and he was complaining how he'd like jump around and kind of watch it all properly on Netflix.
Weird.
At least Rebels is all in order.
It's like how people fuck up their playlists on YouTube.
And Rebels brought so annoying. And Rebels brought in Thrawn, which is great.
Yeah.
Which is voiced by that fucking guy.
That guy?
Yeah, that guy. The guy from Game of Thrones who's dead, who got his face bitten by the wolf.
Ramsay Bolton?
Yeah, Ramsay Bolton voices Thrawn. So he gets that creepiness going, but yet an intelligent character. So
I wish there was a way for Thrawn to have been voiced by Tony Jay, but Tony Jay was rude and died a decade ago.
I liked how... you ever see the video of the guy who plays Ramsay and
the guy who plays Theon.
Theon, yeah.
Yeah.
Both dancing around like in some kind of school music room or something like that.
Well, that's what they meet. That's a whole that they did that thing for charity where they brought the whole cast. They made the Game of Thrones musical thing and they basically brought them all together, and that's a hilarious like 15-minute skit.
Apparently he's like the nicest guy, you know, but you wouldn't know it from I mean, that's acting, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, if some actor from Game of Thrones had to leave social media because he kept getting death threats because his character made bad choices.
Probably the Joffrey kid. Like he talked about that. Like,
Walking Dead had the problem. Yeah, it's just people just like they're acting.
And then the lady. God, why can I not remember any actors or actresses' names right now?
I'm having a problem.
But the lady who plays Cersei.
Yeah.
You know, and she was in Dread and everything that. But she talks about how like she's supposed to be walking around the street and people just come up and start screaming about how much they hate her, and she's like, "Thanks, I guess."
Yeah. I mean, that is kind of living the dream in my mind, but that's but of course you have to thrive off hatred.
Got the good advice of watching Misfits in the chat there. If you like the guy who played
Misfits.
Yeah, he's in
Misfits. Is great. Well, he's in it more of the seasons. Misfits is an interesting show because you lose one of the best characters after one season. And the show definitely drops off after season one, but they still peak here and there.
Yeah.
It's not a show that's just terrible after season one. It's definitely less, but man, they still had high notes here and there.
Yep.
I mean, anytime you can involve having someone punch Hitler is always great.
excuse you. Headbutt.
Oh, yeah, headbutt.
They headbutt Hitler.
I confused my...
What the hell is the Misfits then?
Superheroes.
Okay.
It's a superhero thing. And one of them can time travel.
Is it like a British show?
Yeah, it's British.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on Hulu. She goes back in time and headbutts Hitler. Because why wouldn't you if you could time travel? And we're British.
So we need to move on to talk about something very important, Marvel. So we also have Guardians of the Galaxy. So we're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy spoiler. But before we jump into that, I'm at the theater. Jeremy's there. And Jeremy, during the trailer, they're showing the trailer to Thor 3. Which I think the trailer for Thor 3 might be the best Marvel trailer. It might be better to me than the Guardians of the Galaxy.
I was going to say the first Guardians of the Galaxy trailer was amazing. Those two,
I can't tell which one. I mean, the thing is, they both feel like each other. So, I probably, if I had to put my life on the line, might have to go with the Guardians, but the Thor 3 trailer is phenomenal. Like, that's just a phenomenally done, well-done trailer.
Their powers are on opposite extremes. So yeah. The Thor trailer is amazing because you know these things, right? Correct. You see Mjolnir break. You see Thor. You see Hulk. Yeah. You see all this stuff, and it's all familiar. The amazing thing about the original Guardians and what they did a great job with the movie is that nobody on this planet outside of the most closeted, antisocial, neckbeard weeaboos knew anything about Groot or Rocket or Star-Lord or anybody. Correct. Like, nobody gave two shits. And the trailer knew that and just... You're watching, you're like, what the, is that a raccoon with a machine gun riding on a tree? What is that? Who is that? Wait, who's that fucking guy? Yeah. And it just did such a good job of teasing you with the unknown.
But they did it with great music, and they still cut the scene together just right. And they
the moment when they do the Hooked on the feeling build up, and it does that the song does, but then that beat continues and goes into just the rhythmic drum, like when machine guns and explosions. Yeah. That's such a cool moment. Yeah. But yeah, the Thor trailer is fucking amazing,
too. And it does the same, but you are right. It is the opposite extreme. But man, and Jeremy turns to JR and goes, man, I sure hope... you know, this one doesn't suck like the first two Thor movies. And I was out of range
people
to just...
I don't know why people Thor hate the first two.
Thor 1 at the worst is decent, but man, they had to build a fucking Thor mythology like on a film. So they
it was workmanship is the issue with Thor 1. It had a lot of world building, and, you know, it suffers from origin story syndrome that all superheroes
it had a lot of world building. It had kind of a lame villain. I mean, besides Loki, but I mean, Destroyer was more so the villain of that film.
Yeah, but Thor 2, I think Thor 2 is one of the top three Marvel. It's so good on so many levels. And
so many people hate it, and I don't know why.
Yeah, there is a unnormal amount of people who dislike Thor 2, and I can't fathom it. I watch that, and it's just I'm just enjoying it.
When Mjolnir's chasing him through the portals trying to catch him, like...
I think the villain could have been better, but I mean, as much as I love all the Marvel movies, they don't make great villains 9 times out of 10. Whatever it is, their villains are mediocre to average with great heroes, and I think they're still greatly enjoyable. I just don't think they do great in
But I'm a sucker. See, I mentioned this when I think it was here, maybe not, but we talked about Kubo and the Two Strings once upon a time, and I've mentioned that any villain with like the porcelain mask, you know, you give me a blank white mask with just like two eye holes and maybe just a little detail, I'm in love. That's like my favorite fucking thing, like going all the way back to Ninja Gaiden 2 when like the villain in that game had that. And so I saw the preview images of the Thor 2 villains, I'm like, yep, works for me.
You know, the dark elves,
The dark elves, they have that. I love that. That's my favorite aesthetic in villains.
They do look cool. I'm gonna say I like villain monologue sessions. I love the heroes down and the cocky smart ass villain just, you know, spewing force and wisdom, or just brute force evil villain where they just are chopping through people. I like the extremes. But no, there's so many moments in Thor 2 that scene, and just, I don't know, Loki and him getting away is ridiculous. And
so the guy in the chat saying Thor felt like a filler movie because they're like, oh shit, we got to get another Infinity Gem out there. Let's make a Thor movie. If you ignore what it, at worst, it feels like they made an amazing movie, and then they just changed a couple lines to shoehorn the Infinity Gem in there.
Yeah.
But that doesn't make the rest of the movie bad.
They don't actually shoehorn an Infinity Gem in there.
We'll make this thing a gem. Okay, so the thing's a gem, and the movie, if it wasn't a gem, would still be a great movie.
Yeah,
you don't even need to know that the mist is like the gem of power.
The only film that they've made that felt a little weaker because they forced the stuff in was the Avengers 2.
Yeah.
That was the only movie that lost quality because they had a force in the Infinity stuff. I still enjoyed it, but it suffered because of that.
Yeah. But no, it's funny. There's action scenes. I mean, Thor hanging Mjolnir on a coat rack will always be hilarious.
Thor's so polite in doing those little nice things. He's so subtly great.
He is subtly great. Like, people, I saw a thing online talking about how, like, in the first movie, these people, he falls from the sky. These people hit him with a truck. They drug him. They hit him with their car again. And he just goes had breakfast with them. And he's just having a great time. Yay, pancakes. Yay. He just loves life.
It's just another day on Midgard.
Sure. Cool. Yeah. Hit me with the car. Let's have some drinks and eat pancakes. He's such a fun character. But he's they're like surprisingly subtle about it. Like, he It's like Drax in Guardians 2, where he's just like, he's fun. He enjoys the combat. And yeah. sometimes people don't like that as much. I don't know. Guardians 2.
Are we going in?
Yeah.
Let me know when we're going into spoilers.
Right now.
All right. So I'm going to post it up on the thing.
We're going to talk about Guardians 2 for the next 45 minutes. We're going to talk about it like as long as the movie is. We're going to go full Plinkett.
Yeah.
So
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is the worst movie since I murdered my wife.
That's not from the Blinkin' Reviews.
It's basically the Blinkin' Reviews.
The biggest negative I heard on Guardians of the Galaxy, it was too much like the first, and they didn't do enough crazy new things, was what some people have said.
I'll get my negative out of the way first.
And I don't think it's my negative. I thought it was a great film.
I thought it was a great film, too.
I don't really have a negative. But
I have a negative.
You can't not have a negative.
It's true.
I don't care what's happening to you. You're going to find, like, are you seriously? Come on.
Let me get my negative out of the way first, because your negative will probably be better.
I know you're a big Red Letter Media fan. Have you watched their Half in the Back?
Yep, yep.
My negative is the same as Jay's negative, which lends some credence to my negative.
Yep. Mine is... my negative is basically still fucking spoilers. It annoys me when I see things. They laid on so heavily into Drax spoilers throughout the previews that it didn't feel like anything that he was saying felt new to me.
Oh, sure.
Or felt out of place. There's like a couple things in there which were snuck in fairly well.
Yeah. But a lot of the good scenes.
Were already in the trailers. And yeah,
Baby Groot with the bomb, you know, all that stuff's in the trailers.
Yeah,
but my negative is too funny, and specifically a thing that James Gunn does. And here's a very specific example. You have this dramatic fight. You have the hero and the villain, and they're fighting, and it's tension and drama and emotional weight to it. And then giant fucking Pac-Man with Pac-Man noises. It's like, it's hilarious.
Yeah,
I laughed. But it would be nice to actually have emotional weight stand for a little while.
Well, I could see for something. And I think.
Like I said, that's a nitpick. I'm not saying I hated the movie because of this.
In general, I wouldn't disagree with that. But that particular moment, I think it made sense because, A, he referenced it kind of earlier.
Yeah, sure.
And he did say when he got those powers, he was going to make weird shit.
Yes.
So that to me, that particular scene felt 100% natural and made sense to me. But I do think maybe the movie was a little bit too late when it didn't need to be.
Yeah.
But, I mean... Yeah, but
you know, Rocket's having his diehard moment of like beating the shit out of 50 guys outside the ship, but then it turns into slapstick with them flying in the air. You know, once is cool, twice is funny, 17 times in a row. It's like,
well, it's still funny,
but it's kind of the thing where once is funny, twice is funny, three or four times is kind of bad, but it goes to 9 or 10, that's kind of funny again. Yeah. So it kind of, but I do agree that there's that weird.
This is more a warning when you go into it that this is a comedy and it's the most on the sleeve funny of any of the Marvel movies by far. I think none of the other Marvel movies have been like, we're gonna have banana pie in the face comedy.
I would say it's also probably the most emotional of the Marvel films as well.
Do both.
They did a great job bringing some side characters a lot of limelight and really kind of going crazy on what's his name with the whistle.
Yondu. Well, everyone. Yondu, Drax, Rocket.
Well, especially Yondu, because I even love like at the end what I thought was super touching, like when his crewmate saw the funeral and saw that the other Raptors came like that. Like his general happiness that happened was, I thought, like exceptionally touching for a Marvel movie. Like, they went to that level, and they were smart and didn't drop any comedy. They actually let that scene be serious, and they didn't like go, like
And that was good. They didn't ruin that one with a wacky moment, which was nice. But and when my coworkers talk about there's no plot to this movie. Like, if you had to summarize the actual plot of this film, it would take, like, three sentences. You know, it's just Guardian, like, Pete meets his dad, his dad's evil, they beat his dad, the end. But the amount of character development that they get in here, that's why there's so much of that. You know, you can have, it's 2.5, it's a fairly long movie, and it didn't feel that way. Like, I got out of the theater, I'm like, wow, that was 2.5 hours? It felt like 90 minutes.
They used
that time well.
Yep. I went into the film at 9:45, I got out at noon, and I'm like, wait, really? what?
Yeah.
Well, they did a great job. The side villains were after them because of things they did. Like, they created their own, it wasn't like there was like some force trying to destroy the world. They stole from some people, and the people were mad at them, and were hunting them down, which was a main focus of like 2/3 of the bad guys was self-created problems.
Yep.
Which was, I kind of like that. It wasn't just, here's a new bad guy other than the dad.
Well, he was technically all part of the first movie as well.
What?
Ego was basically part of the first movie as well. I mean, his plot line started in the first movie when they were trying to figure out his dad.
Well, sure. Mystery. But like his plan, the things he's doing.
Correct.
Didn't enter it. But him, the whole Quill's parentage and everything was part of it. Absolutely. Because it affects how he holds the Infinity Stone and affects all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they haven't really mentioned it in the movies, but I know it's a thing in the comics, but I guess maybe it's just because it's slapsticky, so you're not supposed to think too hard, but is Drax just officially indestructible in the movies now?
Drax is indestructible.
I know in the comics he is, yes. But in the movie they've never mentioned the fact that Drax literally can get hit by a bus and not take a scratch, because he gets wrecked the fuck constantly in this movie, and he's just happy about it.
He's also got sensitive nipples.
He does have sensitive nipples.
Oh, my nipple!
But he can be dragged behind a crashing spaceship and hit 30 trees at Mach 50 million. You know, and he's just like, that was fun.
I even think they handled the sisters really well, and that's a plot line that a lot of movies would just flounder or just make cheap or ruin, and they really kept that together well.
And it didn't even need to exist.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they didn't have to do it. Like, Nebula could have just not been in the movie.
Yeah.
And Gamora could have just, you know, her... If you do that, Gamora's plot line is just that she's a hypothetical maybe love interest.
Yeah.
Correct. Right?
Like so they kept Nebula in specifically so that she could have, you know, their own thing.
Yeah.
She's also the personality of Drax as well. Nebula is. Because all Drax, basically, Drax in the comic books, he gets his mind destroyed by Moondragon, I believe it is. And so he's got a brain of a simpleton,
sure.
But all he can think of is killing Thanos.
Sure.
So if somebody even mentions Thanos around him, he starts flipping out and it like goes into like a Hulk rage to try to kill him. And that's kind of how they're building Nebula here, is basically she has just legitimate reasons to try to kill her father.
Yeah, and even her story with her sister was really touching, as far as like every time she lost a battle, would get part of her body ripped up and replaced with robotics. I mean, that was kind of like a vicious story. They did the characters well. And actually, there's a villain we should get to talk a lot. So they used Kurt Russell well, I thought, as far as like actually, you know,
I didn't even see his arc coming though. Basically, I was trying to figure out who was the full on villain in it.
Oh sure,
It didn't really even strike me until right basically when they revealed it.
Well, you know he's not going to be on the level, but you didn't know he was going to go full on the main villain. You figured there was going to be some level of mistrust and some kind of gimmick that was going to make him bad,
and
but not
some level of being out of touch.
Yeah.
You know, because he's millions of years old and so he doesn't understand stuff. So you figured issues, but not necessarily just active world destruction evil.
Katie was mad that Quill lost his god powers at the end of the movie. She should have kept them. Like, you can't just keep giving the main character god powers and you continue on the series.
They fully gave that a MacGuffin, too. It's basically all part of the planet.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. But I mean, I know, I'm just saying, it was just like, it was amusing me. Like, you can't just have the main character be a god going forward. I mean, unless you're Thor, and even he's more powerful with his abilities to...
Speaking of gods.
Well, he's not like, you know, omnipotent, you know, summon matter. Like, Thor's just strong.
Yeah.
You know, and has a hammer that lets him fly. Yeah. Like, that's it. You know, and so power level, he's about equivalent with Iron Man in his suit. You know, and so he's not like Yahweh God level power.
He's actually, he's at about the same level as like Superman for Thor.
Nerds.
He's about the same, in the same power level as in what he can possibly do. Movies, he may be a little bit less.
Yeah, because, I mean, movies, he doesn't shoot lasers out of his eyes, and, you know, like, he is not Superman level. Like,
he can summon lightning.
He doesn't do it very often. Isn't that Mjolnir tied?
That's, well, he's the god of thunder.
Sure, I know, but
thunder!
Sure, but, I mean, Iron Man can summon lasers. I mean, so that's my point. Like, thunder, lasers, super strong, can fly.
He's much weaker, in the comic. I mean, he's much weaker in the show than in the movies than he is in the comics.
Yeah, well, nobody cares about the comics, old man.
Because in the comics, basically, Thor can go toe-to-toe with Hulk.
Yeah.
It's basically when Hulk gets angrier is when, you know, Hulk becomes more of a problem.
In the comics, Iron Man had a naked fight with another guy, and they threw grass blades at each other, and that's how they beat each other.
Because
they were hypersensitive.
Mm.
So, you know, comics have weird things happen.
Yeah. Mm. But no, so Guardians was... all the scene where they're sending Groot to get Yondu's, like,
By the way, the chat is shitting themselves. Yes, we all know that Thor can't fly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't split that hair. He throws the hammer, and then he holds onto the hammer.
Correct.
And he just is along for the ride. Shut up. Anyway, Yondu.
When they send Groot to get the equipment that's locked, when they're locked up, trying to, like, you know, pull it back, and he keeps bringing back all the wrong stuff.
Oh, that's fucking hilarious.
That is just that scene could have lasted infinitely, and I would still be laughing at everything he brought back wrong.
Like a whole desk.
A little
guy's toe.
Yeah.
Just bring me back, please tell me you have a freezer full of toes. Nope. And then we're never going to speak of this again.
Oh my God, that was...
And then immediately after, like 250 people are brutally murdered.
He murders
the shit out of everybody that next scene.
And then he blows up the building. He blows up the ship mostly out of spite.
Yep. Like, everyone who's dead, he could have kept the ship. He's like, nah, blow up the ship. Fuck them all.
They didn't overuse Baby Groot. They went close to the line. Like, they used him a lot early, but then they were smart about not, you know...
Oh, go ahead.
And they did a good job about having him be Baby Groot, not just Groot, but 6 inches tall.
Yeah.
Like, he behaved more like a child, which was interesting. You know, it's not just, here's Groot, he just happens to be small.
Did you notice that he was always beating up on Drax?
Yeah.
He was always throwing punches at Drax Drax was near him.
Yep.
Yep.
And then Teenager Groot was kind of amusing, too.
Yeah. I did, you know, you do the math, and the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 takes place in 2014, so they left a gap in time to give Groot time to age up, so they can go back to full-grown Groot for the next film.
Even Stallone and, like, the Ravager little subgroup was kind of interesting. Like, they introduced, like, a subset of, like, because they had, like, the five captains who were leading the funeral, and, like, the end, you had Stallone and the four other weirdos that is the new criminal
group. I'll steal Andy's thunder because I read this on IMDb. Those are all members of the Guardians of the Galaxy from the comics.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was
Miley Cyrus was Mainframe, the robot head.
Yeah. So who knows what nonsense is going to happen with those guys.
Yeah, they could easily spin that off into its own show, too.
Sure.
James
Gunn said he wanted Nebula to have her own solo film.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, she's a good actress. The actress is really good.
Hmm.
So it's, you know, I wouldn't be okay with that. I love the fact that James Gunn is going to do all three of the Guardians movies, too. Like, he's, you know, he's staying the helm, so he's kind of keeping the same theme and the feel going. And
as they mentioned, too, about in the Red Letter Media review, happy that he's the only one working on it.
One screenwriter.
Not
12 people, you know.
Because that's where you get, that's how you get Batman v Superman.
Yes.
And Marvel is kind of letting him do his thing. He's making them a fuck ton of money. And that world, for the most part, is one of the few things in the Marvel world just so far away from the Infinity realm that they can just kind of do their own thing. Yeah. I mean, obviously, which is ironic, but they still give us more Thanos time than anybody else. Even though it's a separate thing, they still, in a very clever way, gave us more of the Thanos world without having to, like, shove it down our throat. It was just naturally there.
The odd part about Guardians, though, is what you're saying is that they are so far away from the Infinity thing, but they're literally in the middle of it.
Yeah, I know.
Completely in the middle of the whole gauntlet.
They had a stone. Adam Warlock's there now. He has a stone, you know. People thought Adam Warlock was in the first Guardians movie, but they're like, no, that wasn't him, but here he is for reals, yo.
Yeah.
So,
James Gunn did say he felt bad. He wished he wouldn't have put the Easter egg in the first one.
Right.
With the cocoon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he made the second one a bit more fancy.
I am so excited for Adam Warlock. He's... My belief that he's probably similar to how most people reacted when they saw Thanos in the first Avengers film is like, who the fuck is that?
Yeah.
The fanboys are like,
yeah.
And they're like, there's no fucking way they can go this route. The fact they are this close to doing an Infinity War, Infinity Gauntlet thing is ridiculous. Like, when they put the Avengers together, like, no, it was like, that can't happen. You can't, you're either going to put them together and it's going to suck. They got this close, but you can't do it. And then it was great. And now they're literally expanded the world to this level, and now they're so close to actually doing an Infinity War and all this nonsense. It doesn't seem...
And they're going
to
crash the Avengers and the... You're going to have, like, 20 heroes in a fucking movie.
I mean,
it's going to be insane.
Growing up, for having decades of just bad attempts at comic book movies, and now they're doing it and having Marvel to control, and them still taking a decent time. Even though they're pushing it faster and faster, they're still doing more good than anything else. It's ridiculous.
Man, like you said, growing up with comic books and just not shitty versions. Like, I saw this, and like a couple months ago, I saw Logan. Like, these are things that I would not have thought were possible.
Oh, I think DC Logan was last month.
Yeah. Whichever, like, yeah. The point DC is, holy shit. Wake up.
I want Wonder Woman to be good so bad. And
are we just done with spoilers?
Are we?
Maybe. I don't know.
We're going to jump around a little bit as this bounces.
I'll keep
around.
It up still.
Yeah. We can be less overt with spoilers going forward, possibly, but yeah.
But be warned, if you're listening, we may fly into a spoiler randomly.
Snake kills Dumbledore.
Solid Snake kills Dumbledore?
Yep. Snake! Venom isn't actually Big Boss, and you can know that because he smokes and coughs, and Big Boss is anyway, Metal Gear Solid 5 spoilers there. Yeah.
Which I heard is the worst part of 5.
I'm torn on Wonder Woman because on one part, you know, the comic book slash feminist person in me is so happy to finally get a goddamn Wonder Woman movie. She's deserved it for 50 years. She's been one, there's the triumvirate of DC heroes, and we've had a million Batman movies, a million Superman things, and zero Wonder Woman except for the TV show. So on the one hand, I'm super happy and I want it to make $1 billion. On the other hand, it's DC has to stop. Like, they have to stop. Unless they have stopped. Like, if this movie's different, if this movie's fun and colorful and isn't the drab, dark, depressing pack a razor blade with your movie ticket shit that they keep vomiting out, I'll be so happy. It'll be best of both worlds.
Suicide Squad was close-ish.
You could tell that it was going to be happy.
Yeah.
And then the studio stepped in and said, you know what? Let's make it depressing and drab instead.
Even then, let's wreck some core concept of characters. Like, that movie was, man, that it which makes it almost more frustrating. Like, Superman versus Batman was always never there.
Right.
So I could watch a scene from that movie if I was flipping channels and go, okay, that scene amuses me and not be offended. But Suicide Squad has been on HBO a lot. I can watch a few scenes and then it's like, I'm like, I can't handle this anymore. They missed the mark so critically.
But as long as they keep making money, they're not going to stop making terrible movies that ruin the characters the movies are based on. And so, like I said, one hand, I want this movie to make $1 billion. On the other hand, I want it to fail miserably because I want every DC movie to fail miserably so that they'll stop making these movies.
Yeah.
But maybe they stopped making those movies. Maybe this movie will be best of both worlds and it'll be fun and adventurous and happy.
I'm afraid of this movie being good and not being a critical and not being a financial success. Sure. That's actually probably going to be.
They actually make it good, but it flops money wise. So the people go, well, see, we should have made it stupid, and then people would have paid more money for it.
Yeah, that would be the worst possible thing. And then never get another girl in comic books again.
I will say this though: the trailers for it have made me want to see it. Unlike Batman v Superman, the second I saw them trying to do the Dark Knight Returns parts of that, I was like, oh. No.
Who's doing? Do you bleed? Which person's doing Batgirl? I thought there was like, we're getting like a Batgirl from someone just mentioned Whedon in the chat. I thought Whedon or someone. Not, it wasn't Whedon, but I thought it was someone. Or was it Whedon? I thought someone.
You're saying Whedon wanted to do Wonder Woman
a long time ago, but I really thought one of those directors actually is doing like a Batgirl movie.
Possible.
I could have swore it was.
Thinking Whedon. Of the Alicia Silverstone Batgirl from
from your favorite movie,
Bat Credit Card.
She was at some show the other day, and I'm like, oh, I forgot that she was hot. Yeah. That was my Alicia. I was like, oh, she was pretty hot back then.
Yeah, it was Christina Applegate and Alicia Silverstone were the twosome for a while.
Yeah.
If you were a pubescent boy. But yeah, no, it's yeah. And I was amused that in the trailer for Wonder Woman that was in front of Guardians of the Galaxy 2, that she has less dialogue in the trailer than like Chris Pine did. And so I'm also worried it'll be the Chris Pine movie with his sidekick Wonder Woman.
I'm thinking, I'm worried about that a little bit, but I think they made him seem, that there is definitely a risk there, but I think we'll see.
But it was a funny scene because the people talking were assuming he was the macho person in charge, and then she, so it could be subverted in the film.
Yeah.
It's,
I think being guarded in having doubts about the movie being good is very valid based on their history of shit.
I hope it's good and I hope it's successful.
Yeah.
It's just, I worry that neither of those is going to happen.
Yeah.
I'd be happy if it's good and successful. I'd be happy if it's bad and it failed. Although I wouldn't be happy because I want a successful Wonder Woman movie, but I want a bad DC movie to fail, but I don't want Wonder Woman to fail.
I was in a theater watching some movie in a trailer. This is back before Batman versus Superman came out. And the trailer for that came out. And when they showed Wonder Woman, like I don't know what else, but there was a little girl next to me. She was so genuinely excited when Wonder Woman was on the screen in that trailer. And I want her to get a movie that's actually worth that.
The theme music for that gives me chills.
I love the her little Wonder Woman. Like, yeah, they do.
I'm hopeful. Because I mean, I know my daughter's. She dressed up as Squirrel Girl for like a costume contest at her Taekwondo club, and you know, I mean, girls are comic book fans too. Like, it's not, and that's. I did a rant on this once upon a time at work a couple years ago for back to school. We got a big display of lunch boxes, and they were labeled girls' lunch boxes and boys' lunch boxes. And the girls' lunch boxes had like Barbie and My Little Pony and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, all right, even if you're going to grant that boys don't like Barbie, that's fine. I'm not, whatever. The boys' lunch boxes had like the Avengers and shit. And it's like, if you think that the Avenger movies are making $1 billion each without women watching them, you're a fucking idiot. Well, I mean, you know, but these are the same people that took Black Widow out of the goddamn playset and put Captain America in for the playset of the
Jin
motorcycle
was out,
chase.
Not Jin, but Rey was out of a lot of the first wave of toys for Star Wars. Of course, they got a lot of shit for that. They really have her everywhere now. Because she deserves it.
But the fact that the Black Widow one was specifically a scene that Black Widow's in the movie. And they made a playset based on that scene and then just replaced her with Captain America.
Yeah.
It's like they can't get it through their fucking head that you can have a vagina and enjoy comic books.
Target related-ish. I mentioned this yesterday.
The boys' girls' toys?
I'm not sure if they still do it, but a lot of the Target stores stopped having a boys' and girls' section, and they just had a children's section. And they had the million moms, motherfucker, whatever that group is called, like, said, this is the worst thing in the world. And I don't get why parents want, have that need to gender-identify children in regards to toys they play with. I get the gender. If they want to, I get.
Sure.
But. Yeah. When it comes to a child wanting to play with a toy, why do we have to force a certain type of toy on a certain person? Like, why? I get that happened when we were kids, but why do we need to push that forward? And if someone wants to change that, why is that something that generates so much hate? And like,
because people are shitheads. There's a great webcomic I saw where they're talking about how like Lego frequently model building and stuff like that tends to be a more male-dominated hobby. Yeah. And as a side effect, that's true to some extent of Lego as well. It tends to be like model trains, you know, stuff like that. It's all more male. For some reason, we like the meticulous little shit. I don't know. But so Lego looks into trying to get more of the women's market. And then, you know, they do this and we'll do this and we'll do that and all this pink shit and all this thing. And the person says, look, here's what you do. Take any random Lego playset. Here's Space Dude with his spaceship and his laser blaster. Now you take a ponytail and you add it in there and say, just put the ponytail on if you want it to be a girl. And then you sell it on the fucking shelf. Like, you change nothing but include a ponytail in every playset so you can make the main character a girl. Done.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just fast. People get people. I hate people.
Yeah.
They're not. Mm-hmm. Those people are into the nine, my nine.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, frustrating.
Yes. It's just but I just don't fucking get the comics thing. Girls don't like comics. Yes, they fucking do.
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Go to Comic-Con sometime.
That's why I read Lady Death. That's the feminist in me.
Yeah, there you go. I just want one fucking, you know, executive from these toy stores or whatever just to go to opening night at any Marvel movie and just have a clicker and click boy, girl, you know, man, woman, and see that the split is not 90%.
Well, 10%. You know what? I think the company, like, I think these companies are seeing it, and I think it's the consumer.
Care.
No, I think it's the consumer. So, like, Target said, hey, let's do it. Let's have this. Let's just have a children, and it's the yuck fucks, the consumers that freak out. I bet if more, you know what? Companies like money, and I think they would love to do that. I think the people, if some company did more that more. You'd see these million moms boycott them, and they would lose more money because they tried, you know.
Yeah.
Because you got once we've identified, you know, boys and girls have to be different. So God forbid we try to change any of that ever. You know, it's probably somehow against God. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But I'm sure it's some sort of against God thing. I don't know.
Probably.
I mean,
girls shouldn't like punching.
Yeah, I don't know. That's the assumption I'm going to go with.
So Nick is talking in chat there that says that he thinks it's for shitty uncles like me who type toy for five-year-olds into Amazon.
Five-year-old boys.
Yeah, five-year-old boys in Amazon. So the one thing to know as an uncle or as a godparent or anybody who's there, all you have to do is get something that would annoy the fuck out of the parents for a five-year-old boy or a girl. Just whatever, you know. My uncle got me to annoy my mother, dissect an alien.
Sure, yeah.
An old classic toy from the mad scientist thing. And yeah, that, no, I don't.
Cheated Fates Joe in the chat talks about he had a tea set as a child for coffee time. Famously, like 5-6 years ago, Easy Bake Oven, they changed it from pink to just being oven colored. Like they just made it like white or silver. And I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Like, whoever. Like, we don't have to make pretending to bake a gender specific thing. If your little boy wants Easy Bake Oven time, fuck it. Who am I to judge?
I'm pretty confident the companies themselves, I really believe that the companies themselves would love that thing. I really think it's the revolt of the people that they are afraid of.
Classic episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry gets a small boy a sewing machine.
Yeah. Yeah. He makes a nice pillow, if he I recall correctly.
It's like a pillow throw or something like that. Yeah, that covers your pillow.
Yeah. It's a slip cover.
It's got this thing that goes this way and this way and this way and that.
Yeah, it's got like a windmill looking thing.
Correct.
Yeah. Like if you took like a backward seven and like four of those.
You don't need to describe it any further.
Backward sevens. Well, you know, it's a nice little Jewish
kid. I love when he was dating a Palestine woman and he
One of my favorite things he does is when he wants to use the carpool lane to go to the baseball game.
So
he hires a prostitute just to have a second person in the car so he can use the carpool lane. And then she's like, I don't want to wait in the car. So he has to buy a ticket and watch the whole game with her. It's just such a... Yeah, I could see that. I could see him doing that. Like, it's such a real thing. Such a good show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That show, it's coming back really soon. It's, yeah. I'm very excited. Yeah.
The age thing, speaking of like, you know, the toy for 5-year-olds or whatever. So we're cleaning today, you know, spring cleaning, whatever. And I wanted to turn on a movie for background noise. And I'm scrolling through Netflix and I see Gremlins, the original Gremlins. Yeah. And it's just so absurd to me. And it was in the categories that it was under, which was movies for 11 to 12-year-olds. And I'm like, you know, like as
that
kids.
Movie's PG-13.
Yeah. And like. As kids, we watch this movie, and people are eaten alive in this fucking movie. Like, people die. People are on fire. Like, this movie's brutal death. There's shooting and chainsaws, and it's a kid's movie. You know, for kids.
I will say this. There's a couple of things about that movie. One, every time I hear the Hi-Ho theme music from Snow White.
Yeah.
Every time I hear it. So there's been, like, a commercial going on recently that's got the Hi-Ho music.
Yeah.
I cannot hear that music without hearing the Gremlins doing it at the same time.
Yep.
It bothers me. At Christmas over at the Shays,
nobody tell a story about how your dad died?
No. I got to see people's reactions to that.
Oh, yeah. Because
they've never seen Gremlins. It was some of Jeremy and Katie's friends who came, and I just forced him to watch Gremlins.
I must have missed that moment.
You stepped out to get a soda, I think.
I've probably mentioned this before because it's one of my favorite little trivia things, but that movie was almost brutal darker because originally there isn't a stripe. It's just that's Gizmo. Yeah. Gizmo doesn't stay Mogwai. Gizmo turns into Stripe, the lead gremlin, and everything ends the same way. Brutal chainsaw, gunshots, melting alive, eyes exploding. Just, you know, adorable Gizmo. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
You sociopaths.
Yeah, amazing, I got to experience somebody.
Merry Christmas, kids.
I got to experience somebody hearing the favorite Christmas scene from that about how she lost her father.
Yeah.
It's such a horrible, horrible story.
It's not as bad as President's Day.
I don't even remember.
In Gremlins 2, they decide to have her tell an equally depressing story about why she hates President's Day.
Oh,
because,
God.
Like, her uncle dressed up as Abraham Lincoln and was, like, buried alive or something.
I don't remember Gremlins 2 as much. I still like
Gremlins
it.
Gremlins 2 is weird because it really started out as just a hated sequel, and now it's kind of charming.
It's more straight comedy. Like, people don't die as brutal. Like, it's not as dark. It's not a horror film. It's just fun.
Well, when people saw it back then, you really wanted Gremlins 2. So, not, but I mean, it was not well liked. But now, I mean, over the course of years, more people like it now than they used to like it.
Yeah, it's the Alien 3 of the Gremlins series. Yeah. And they still keep claiming they're working on a third one.
It is my favorite corporate logo I've ever seen in my life. The clamp.
Yeah.
Just the world. Just being
no, I mean, that's. Yeah, that's better off 10 levels of awesomeness.
You got the bat gremlin, you got the smart gremlin, you got vegetable gremlin. I have heard people saying the movie's transphobic because of the transgendered gremlin, but you know, nowadays people hate everything, but that's fine.
Well, there's the guy that gets seduced by the trans gremlin.
Yep, yep.
Hey, you know what? For an 80s movie, there's not a lot of rape in it, so that's pretty good.
Well, a guy is raped by a gremlin.
True, but I mean,
but it turns out he likes it.
But it's more direct rape than it is like...
She's not a hero.
Correct.
A villain.
Correct.
Rapes somebody.
Correct. It's not a hero raping someone like the other 80% of the 80s films.
Yes.
So it's
fucking Revenge of the Nerds. Jesus Christ.
Well, that one's supposedly sweet, whatever it is. Was it High Plains Drifter?
Well, yeah. Well, that's literally. I mean, that's.
But that's the main character who's supposedly the hero.
But well, High Plains Drifter is more of an anti-hero. So because he wrecks that town, he burns that place to the ground. So I mean, that's just you assume he's the hero and he does terrible, terrible things.
He kind of is the hero, but he does.
He's
horrible.
The protagonist.
Yes. Okay.
But he's not a hero.
Yeah. Correct.
But though the 80s films were all about happy guys doing terrible things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, back then women didn't have any rights, so it really changed in the 90s.
Yeah. I've always liked Gremlins too. Even as a kid, I liked it. Had Hulk Hogan in the movie yelling at the projectionist of the movie you were watching. Good times.
Yeah, I mean that was
there was a video version
there
of that
a video
as well.
Version. They filmed two different versions so that they would have it would make sense on video for yeah. It's good stuff.
Yeah, they actually were pretty clever about playing that kind of nonsense out back in the day.
Grab the monster.
I'm going to have to watch it again. I don't even know where I can stream it.
It's not Netflix, I don't think, because after Gremlins, it was going to go to something else.
Recommendations.
Are we on recommendations? Are we on Zappity Grumbles?
Did he have any Zappity Grumbles? Well, the first Zappity Grumble I already answered, it's 9. I don't know why he put a math equation in our chat, but it came out to 9. Excuse me, I burped.
I just need to be home early, so that's why I was like pushing.
It's been an hour. We're an hour in.
Hour 20 in.
So while he's looking for Zappity Grumbles, I'll side mention. I half blind recommended because I was only like halfway through the first season, but Black Sails.
Yeah.
And I'm halfway through the third season, and the fourth and final season just ended. Every season's been better than the previous one. It's very enjoyable. So, you know, I will follow up on my tentative recommendation and say that Black Sails was good.
Oh, Jesus. What? Fuck. We have a few.
Okay. Yeah, some of our lot really worded, so I was trying to ignore them. I was kind of ignoring them. But let's go crazy on them.
Go crazy.
Feed Rondom. Yeah, that first one is Zappity Grumblet. It's sort of just like
I'm gonna read it.
Just read it just out loud.
I'm gonna try it. Start it.
Go. Alright. Go.
Power level battle engines. R1 with boost mechanics or TEP additional dice, leaving the others in the dust. Potential of a rat 8-10 boosted to hit. Pow 15-21, 3-4 dice for damage. 2 shots Storm Strider, for example. Is it a case that none of all should get boosts or none?
I don't know. There definitely seem to be disparaging power level in battle engines. I agree with the concept of that statement.
I mean, the power to boost is always an incredibly good power.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
especially on the low rat machines, which
The Meat Thresher gets it in its melee attacks when it gets in there. I mean, it's as long. So some are more offensively powerful and some have more utility. That is what it is. Like they're giving bulldoze to the Kador and Troll ones so that have the utility there and give them knockdown. You know, so the Storm Strider seems like it hits the hardest from range, but then a Meat Thresher wipes out armies. So it is what it is.
But you have to throw infantry in front of him. I mean, the Meat Thresher is amazing against infantry, but someone's got to kind of throw infantry at a Meat Thresher.
Or lights, because a medium base, it's lighter, it's small or medium. So yeah, infantry, it tears apart. Lights, it still knocks down and has Weapon Master smashing and then shoots it in the face with its...
I honestly wish it knocked down everything, but I wish it knocked down largest too. Yeah, probably would be too good, but I think
it should. It does knock down everything. It gets boosted to hit against smalls and mediums.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, it knocks down everything, and it gets additional die damage against everything that's knocked down.
Okay.
It's just the boosted to hit is small and mediums. But larges are usually low enough defense that it doesn't matter.
Does it have reposition?
Not anymore. It used to be a cavalry model in Mark II. It doesn't anymore. I think we can still cast sprint on it, because I think the Roadhog still has sprint as an animus. But it used to be able to, like, it was speed 8. It would move up, like, 3 inches, hit stuff, and then move its remaining 5, and then sprint another 8 away. Like, it was really fucking mobile. Gotcha. But,
All right. So that's Zappity.
Oh, God damn it.
It is fine for power levels to be different as long as they're reasonably placed within their own faction, has always been my idea.
Yeah.
Correct. And
as long as there's a reason to take them, and some of them still don't, there's not a reason to take a few of them yet.
Right.
Yeah, like Siege Animatrix, I know for sure.
It doesn't fit the role. They said there are three roles of battle engines, and then here's the Siege Animatrix. It doesn't really fit in any of them.
If it used its rage to boost its gun attacks, it would help a lot. Yes.
That's, yeah.
But the problem is, though, is fluff-wise, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Shut up.
I really like the change that they made for the Storm Strider to, instead of aiming to power up, it has to walk. Yeah. Hence why I made the picture that blew up on, like, last Wednesday.
Yep.
Gravity Grumble. Jesus, there's a lot of them.
Go faster.
What is your favorite Decepticon?
I don't have one.
Soundwave. Starscream.
It's obviously Soundwave.
If you're going to take Soundwave. Yeah, yeah, I mean, it's obviously Soundwave. I had a Soundwave. I played with it in the bath as a kid in his little
cassette tape. That's the only correct answer.
I put my Soundwave into the microwave to dry him off after I played with him in the snow.
No, poor Soundwave.
Zappity.
Grubble.
How could PP create a game balance at different point size games? Do SR scenarios function well at smaller or larger point games than 75 points? Should PP develop modified scenarios for smaller point games? Do you have any thoughts for about variable war jacks, war beasts, points for casters, depending on what point size you are playing to help create this balance?
Good question, Zappity.
Grumble. I would make a good episode to talk about it, but
not.
That is not a Zappity Grumble question.
I can see, for the quick thing, I can see that there are hypothetically issues because of the way that warjack points work when you scale games. Correct. We all are aware of that, but discussing the details will take too fucking long.
Basically, 50, 75 points is basically, in my opinion, the sweet spot of games that you want to play in. That I think 100 points is too much because of the second caster.
I'm going to tangent there, because I had this out 2 days ago. In Mark 1, when you played a 750-point game, you would jump to 1,000 points to go to two casters. And two casters are always broken, but you didn't. The army got a little bit bigger, but it didn't feel crazy. In today's world, to go to two casters, you have to go to some insane point level. And then the armies are too big. I wish there was a two caster level that wasn't that much beyond the one caster. I wish like
100 points.
I thought 100 is one caster still.
I think 100 is one caster still.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Well, either way, we could do 100-point two caster, but it might not be official at that level.
True. I just it was interesting because back in the day, you'd see a lot more two caster games being played in Mark 1 because it didn't seem that much more ridiculous to go to it. Now, because of the way the points work, it's because even if you go to 100 points and you add a caster, it's still 28 plus 25. It's still 50 more in some way. So it's still, it just. No, it's still something you wouldn't want to do often, but it's a shame you can't do it.
Yeah, and in fact, because of the way the battle group points work and because they were upped in Mark 3, you almost could just say 75 points regardless of the number of casters.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because each caster you add is going to bring 30 points or so of their own shit. So the 75 points will always be, you know, the infantry and whatnot.
Because that used to be the 75 points for the two-headed beast.
Yeah.
Back then.
But because of the increase in battle group size, I mean, you don't even need to increase army. You can do 2, 3, 4, 5 casters at 75 points, and they're each just going to bring another 30 points with them.
Yeah.
Definitely. Grumble. What is good resources for learning how to deploy your models? Besides watching tons of battle reports with people using models I don't have, I play Protectorate.
Play a bunch of games.
Honestly, probably the Vassal is probably first. Just
Vassal, sure.
Or just set down your list and move it. I mean, I've done that a lot of times. I literally downstairs will set up my army and just deploy different ways, and I'll just do my turn one move, and then I'll pack it up or do it again.
That's true.
Just sitting down by yourself and just move your army on turn one multiple times.
Because a lot of mistakes you'll catch instantly. You know, you'll deploy the game, you'll move, and you go, oh, well, shit, that model's behind that model.
Yeah, that is.
You don't need to learn that in a game.
When we were good competitively, that's definitely something I did all the time when I had a new list, was set it out and just move it.
Just do stuff like this. Basically, you can look at somebody's battle reports. You can see how they've deployed their line. Make some proxy bases for those. Put those across the table from you, and then lay down your army and pretend you're taking first turn to go against
that army.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, basically, the more times you lay down your force onto the table and start moving it, the more efficient you'll be.
You can and will lose games on deployment if you don't aren't careful.
Correct.
Zappity.
Grumble. Why do you guys for the lowest level of Twitch partnership so I can use my Twitch Prime free monthly sub to get you guys money? I didn't know about that. I will look into
it. We can get money? I like money.
How's that patron going?
Our patrons, it's set up. I have nothing pointing to it. I had a video Nathan and I were going to record for it, so give them an idea of what things we're doing.
We could take your money, but we're too lazy to do it.
The video we recorded was terrible. I felt terrible.
It was pretty.
I didn't know what was happening. You're like, Nate, come stand here, and we talked, and I'm like, what? And I was awkward.
So we'll make a new video.
So yeah, basically, I really want to get our Patreon going so we can get some better equipment here, so I don't have to use the same fucking laptop every single time we.
That thing is only 84 years old.
It's getting up there.
Yeah, I'm about to get rid of my. I don't even use mine that much. I'm gonna get rid of it for a new one because it's so old.
New laptop?
Yeah, my laptop is like at least 10, 12 years old.
Anyways, it's probably better than this one. Zappity.
Hello.
Have any of you played Zaya, Legends of the Drifty Systems?
Nope.
System?
No. Zappity. I don't even know what that is.
Nope, Zappity.
No idea what that is.
There's one in the chat real quick I'll throw in. What are your thoughts on the battle engine buffs being a corporate sales decision and not game balance related? Spoiler, everything they do is a corporate sales decision. We can just hope that it's also game balance.
Yeah.
Correct.
Exactly. It's always going to be a combination of both. I mean, if it gets too obvious and it's corporate, and then the game will start having bad balance and people stop playing. And so they have to have game balance, otherwise they don't have a game. So the corporateness has to be driven by some game balance, always.
It's in their best interest to have models that you want to put on the table.
Yeah. Balance was the most important thing for miniatures games, Games Workshop would have been bankrupt 30 years ago. Correct. Like, you know, it's all business choices.
Correct. I mean,
I want the game to be balanced, you know, obviously, but let's not fool ourselves.
Correct. Correct. They want some Storm Raptors to go out. They want
from top to bottom over there. There's like a mushroom over there.
What?
There's like eight. Anyway, keep going. We'll go to chat later.
All right. So goblins are coming to Blood Bowl. Is there any point in playing other games now?
There's a point to playing other teams in Blood Bowl. Goblins suck. Fuck you.
The goblins in Blood Bowl, they do look really awesome.
It's still Pogo and the ball and chain guy. Yep. It's the standard goblin
team. They haven't shown any of the secret weapons of them, but just the normal ones, they are really tiny, and they are like heavily armored. They definitely don't look like they should be armor 7. But yeah, they look awesome.
They're kind of like the guys in
Bad Ankles.
What? Yeah, Bad Ankles.
That's where they have low armor.
But I was thinking like the goblins in Labyrinth. You know how they're just like little compressed suits of armor with a nose sticking out, just shoveling around.
Just a helmet. Yeah, yeah. Helmet and some feet. Those are the snotlings. Those are like my favorite. Yeah. The snotlings with those. Also on the subject of Blood Bowl, I want to say congratulations to Tom Anders. His Slaan team that he created for the Living Rulebook 6 is actually being made into an official team by Cyanide.
Oh, cool.
So it's going to be on Blood Bowl, the Blood Bowl, the video game.
The PC game, cool.
Yep.
Blood Bowl 2.
Yeah.
And someone from Madison went to, there was an, you talk about events and people doing good things. Someone, they had, Fantasy Flight had their Star Wars championship, and someone from Madison made like the top 16 or possibly even higher for like the Star Wars Destiny game there. Like they,
oh wow,
kicked, but I don't know if he made it to top 8 or top 4, but I know he made like out of like 500 or 600 people, he made it to like the top brackets.
Good job, Madison.
Yeah, random.
Okay. So Zappity Grubble, what's wrong with Australians?
They live in Australia.
We should have an. We should. That should be episode title. Episode topic. We just start off. What's wrong with Australians? And then do we just talk for an hour on that? Because there's a lot.
All we're just going to be talking about is what's wrong with the world.
Well, I mean, in
Australia, just basically. Yeah.
Well, there's a show called Strange Calls that's on Hulu now, or maybe it's Netflix, but it's Australia and it's weird.
Yeah. Is it Undead weird? Because Undead is a fucking weird Australian film.
It's that. The first episode, it's this guy that gets transferred to this town and everything's weird there. It's like Erie, Indiana level weird.
Okay.
Like his first case is, he's stuck with this crazy old guy who loves HeroQuest and insists that he's the wizard and the new guy's the dwarf and nobody likes the dwarf. But the first case is a guy that eats too much fried chicken, so he's turning into a chicken.
Okay.
It's a weird show.
Zappity.
Grumble.
All right. What's the difference between ponytail and pigtails?
Ponytail is one in the back and pigtails is two on the sides.
Yep. One says, don't fuck with me. The other says, hold these while you fuck me.
Well, I think, you know, both can be used. Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, whatever. Yes.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Is it me? Is the War Machine a little too rules bloated? I think the time has come for a more compact rule set. Let's say down to 4 pages. Throw in a few silly rules too.
No, four.
By the way,
that's an Age of Sigmar joke. They're making an Age of Sigmar joke.
What's Age of Sigmar? Ah, hilarious. Zappity.
It's actually, I don't think it's that bad for rules.
It isn't. It has to be as tight as it is. And the core rules of the game are actually very small.
Yeah.
Like, if you look in Prime and whatnot, like, the actual rules of the game aren't that big.
I do think Privateer Press is trying so hard to make every model legal forever that they are. I mean, there is a model bloat because of that, unfortunately, after, like, you know, 15, 20 years, now suddenly you're actually human. When everything stays valid forever, it does become a challenge, but that's just life. It's the world we live in. Zappity.
Grumble. What do you guys feel about the new Warhammer 40K revamp rule so far?
I have nothing about it.
No, nothing about it. I have room with somebody.
They're Sigmaring 40K.
But it sounds like they're Sigmaring it like as Age of Sigmar a year and a half later, like when they learn their lessons.
If during your hero phase you pretend to ride a gene stealer, you get bonus dice.
Well, the interesting thing about I've heard people who play Age of Sigmar like the game now a lot.
Mm-hmm.
The difference for me is it's not, no matter what they do, they turn it into a skirmish game, not rank and file. So even if it has the greatest rules in the world, I want to play Warhammer Fantasy for rank and file, so it'll never appease to me. But if they do but since 40K is already skirmish,
yeah,
and they make 40K have interesting rules and it's already skirmish to skirmish, probably would be okay in the end of the day.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, zappity.
I room with somebody who's an extreme 40K fan, and I have not heard him say, like, I'm done with this game.
Tyranids are the best. Necrons are stupid and lame.
I like Necrons.
No, stupid and lame. Tyranids are the best. Necrons are chumps.
Zappity.
Zappity grumble. Does Jeremy ever play ranked mode in Hearthstone? Because Warrior and Rouge decks,
he only quest play,
deck get eaten up by all, eaten you, up in there all the time.
You only play ranked in that because you don't want to play. If you rank, you can get better prizes when the month is over. Plus, when you
there's
play,
no reason not to play ranked.
Yeah, when you play, and you technically play people who are your level of wins.
Yeah.
And wild, anything goes. So you get people who just...
Well, you can play standard unranked. They're not talking wild versus standard. They're talking ranked versus... You can play unranked, but there's no point to it.
Yeah, you'd want to play ranked.
Because you lose nothing from playing in ranked. The worst case scenario is you get up to 20, which gets you a free card back at the end of the thing. And then you can't lose below that.
And you can... Yeah, he definitely plays ranked. Ranked, yeah. Even I do. Everyone plays ranked.
Literally no reason not to play ranked.
Other than to complete quests.
No, ranked. Even then,
it would be harder
to do it in wild or standard because you
why like when you not even wild when you go into standard mode, you can either play ranked or casual.
Yeah,
and there's no reason not to play ranked. Casual has zero advantage over ranked.
Okay,
you just click ranked, and all it does is after each game, it tells you if your rank went up or down. And that's other than that,
but when you play ranked, and if you're level 19, you play the 19s. You don't play like a grandmaster level 1. If you go into like standard unranked, the best player in the world might be, you know, bored and chesting out listening, just crushing people in standard. So you have a better chance at fair games in ranked. You will still come across broken decks, but
who cares?
Odds of a better game.
It's not like Arena where you have to spend gold for the privilege.
Yeah,
it's just a toggle you click, and you start at rank, I think 25 is the lowest.
Yep.
And as long as you get to at least 20, you get free shit at the end of the month. And it's literally impossible to lose below that. Like,
you play,
what's to lose? Yeah. There is no disadvantage. Correct. Unless you just get angry. Like, if you get up to, like, rank 9 or 10, and then losing the game, you see your rank drop down, and that would just enrage you. Sure, I guess, if you're that petty and small. But why are you even playing then?
Zappity.
Grumble, why isn't Katie on anymore?
She doesn't want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's busy. She's been busy. It's tax season. She's an accountant. I mean, we just got through tax season.
She's also lazy.
Yeah,
and she's lazy.
If Katie has a choice of staying at home, just watching TV, cuddling with the dogs at night, or doing anything else in the world,
yeah,
I think.
Plus, there's that restraining order that you have against her.
I don't have a restraining order.
Oh, we can't talk about it.
Yeah, we can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. There isn't a restraining order.
Rumble. All right, that's it. That's it for those. So I don't know if there's any for
there's a few Twitters. In chat, so you can look up Twitter while I go over chat. Zap Grumby, Brian, what's your favorite Cthulhu Wars faction, and are you excited about the new stuff coming out?
The new stuff has actually been stuck in customs for 3 weeks, and the company it's under intense inspection, and they refuse to tell the people what that means. And they're like, get our shit out of customs so we can get it to the customers. I'm very excited for it. It's like 90% of the Kickstarter stuff is going to be delivered.
Speaking of Kickstarter stuff, I got my scenario book for Conan today.
Nice. I should be getting my stuff soon.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have a favorite faction of the current ones.
Too long since we played.
I stopped playing it because I knew the expansions were coming, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna play the fuck out of this when the expansion comes. So I'm just gonna let it sit on the side and just like play the fuck out of it in like in a year. So
you played the goat. I remember one time when we played.
I like all of them are pretty cool. Cthulhu coming up whenever he wants with his power is pretty awesome. Yeah. Just rising from the sea and just unleashing hell is pretty awesome. It's a fun game, and I'm very excited for the stuff.
I like the game a lot too.
I will bring Cthulhu Wars out. Part of the reason I sold a bunch of my collection of games was to make room for Cthulhu Wars. I needed shelves of space for that game.
Oh, I forgot to mention an announcement. Speaking of board games, we're going to be doing a special broadcast from here on a certain board game.
Cool.
Neat. Zappity, if you could be the villain of any game, what would it be and why? And that's you can either be the villain that currently is the character, or you can replace them in that game, whichever you'd prefer.
A game? As in like a movie? Or wait,
any game. Games are not movies. Movies and games are two different things. That's why they use the word game instead of movie.
That's a very
for example,
deep question.
You could either be Sephiroth, or you could replace Sephiroth as the villain of Final Fantasy VII.
Or you could be Dr. Wily.
You could be Dr. Wily, or you could just be Andy fighting against Mega Man.
I could be Kefka.
You could be Kefka.
The second he destroys the world in that game is such a glorious moment.
Yeah, you're like, man, this game's kind of short, but I'm fighting the villain, and then you lose, and you're like, oh.
Yeah. Jim hates that game just for that reason alone. I don't know why he hates
that. That's not
Kefka.
Why I hate that game.
Why do you hate it? What?
I hate that game because at the end of the game, all your characters are identical, and I don't like the Final Fantasies that the way the skill system works, you end up with a dozen identical characters.
I like the
ones where they're different all the way to the end.
I was too young when I played that game for that to have been like a thing in my mind that's set. So I don't have like that sounds like a very valid complaint, but I just don't have the memory of that level of it.
And that's fair. And it's just the way that like maybe that means the game was good enough that I played it to that point where I had 12 people, all of which would just quad cast Ultima because they all had the same skills and they all but whatever. Kefka's a good one. I mean, Shodan, but just who's my favorite villain, not who would I want to be.
Yeah, Shogun?
Shodan.
Oh, I thought Shogun.
From the System Shock
Last
games.
Warrior Shogun?
Yeah.
That guy's amazing. I mean, Friday the 13th is coming out, so I mean, I can just say Jason. And
there you go.
I mean, that's God. I've played so much.
I guess I just don't really identify with villains as much.
What else is there?
I would
much rather
some
like
dumb hero.
Like some of my favorite games got to the stupidest villains.
Like who?
Well, okay, the one I'm playing right now.
Yeah, Blaster Master. You can be the giant floating brain. Wouldn't you want to be a giant floating brain?
No, you beat Mother Brain immediately. That's your first boss.
I know, but it's
his Mother Brain. You fight a fucking mutated frog.
That's awesome.
But I don't want to be a mutated frog.
Mother Brain from Metroid?
No.
I always like Kraid.
Yeah.
Kraid has the best world music. Everybody likes Ridley. I'm a hipster. Kraid's good.
Some fighting games have some pretty amusing villains.
Yeah.
Bison
is cool. I'd like to be Raul Julia as M. Bison.
Dracula in Symphony of the Night. What is a man? A miserable pile of secrets. Chuck LeChuck. That's a good one. You can be a demon zombie ghost pirate by the time of the fourth Monkey Island game.
God, no. I still identify with heroes more than that. I'd be like, I
You'd
would
be
love Guybrush to
be, Threepwood.
I would. I Rad Spencer. That's sure. Who I'd like to be.
He's named after me, though. No. All right, so, yeah.
Zappity.
Is there any others there?
Yeah, something about if Convergence get an infantry theme, does Aurora get more relevant because the terrain guidelines have giant obstructions in the middle of the board? Well, they have line of sight blocking in the middle of the board. We've been doing a lot of, like, forests and stuff, not just buildings. But does flight still ignore terrain? I thought it just ignored models for flying over. Like, you can move over the terrain, but to charge, you still have to be able to see your
You still have target. To be able to see it, yep.
So, I mean, it's nice that she grants flight, but flight's the equivalent of Pathfinder as far as overcome. Well, I guess you can't Pathfinder through a building. So, yeah, it makes her more relevant. I'd say she's still the worst Convergence caster. But
you could fly over a building with flight.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like the only thing that flight has over Pathfinder is going through buildings and going through models.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if you're a larger base, but the issue is some of those are smaller bases. Yeah. Is she, you know, her entire battle group has flight?
No, she has a spell that grants flight to everything in her control area.
Oh, so they...
It's like it's plus two movement and flight. It's like the Crusader's Call style thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a good spell. It's a good spell.
There you go. Arctic Circle asked, is Jason the villain of a Friday the 13th game? There's a Friday the 13th game coming out this month where it's an 8-1.
Right.
One person is Jason, and the other 8 are counselors trying to survive.
So the point is, isn't that a game with one hero and 8 villains? I think that's his point.
I gotcha. Maybe that's the point.
Yeah, like the world is set upon Jason.
Do you know what I would love to do? I'd love to play the first stage of that game where you're the 8 counselors, and you just watch Jason drown in the...
No, you just fuck each other. Yeah. The first stage is just having sex while a kid drowns.
It would suck for the Jason players. You know, like you have to tap A to stay swimming, stay above the surface.
Your frantic gesture talking about sucking when we're discussing having a sex party was a little context insensitive. But
Zappity.
Well, the whole thing about Katie's dick not working anymore was pretty amazing.
My dick don't work.
Katie's dick doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
But
Katie Shea, her dick don't work.
Her dick don't work. You must have just missed that yesterday.
Was that yesterday then?
Yeah, it was yesterday afternoon.
Oh, no.
Or it was late afternoon. Yeah.
So I must have been just already gone.
Yeah, it's just, I don't, yeah, whatever.
Oh, because that was a question.
They get annoyed at people asking them over and over and over again when they're going to have kids. And so they said that she should just say, my dick don't work. Katie should claim that she's impotent and cannot get an erection to impregnate and just confuse people to where they drop the topic.
Yeah.
All right, so Nathan, others can answer as well.
I wanted a t-shirt that Katie wears.
My dick don't work.
And Jeremy,
I enjoyed when Megan said, fuck you, marry yourself.
So others can answer this as well. You love tartar sauce.
The tartar sauce. The solo?
No, not the solo.
No, I love
the
tartar sauce. Tartar sauce is great because it's mayonnaise plus pickle relish, and I love mayonnaise and pickles.
Yep. You get to choose one to eat it on.
Okay.
Well done steak?
Mac
and cheese with ketchup? Or Limburger?
Of the three, I would be most able to consume the steak.
Probably the steak as well. That was from Dan for you.
Oh, of course. Thank you, Dan. Skittles Dan?
Skittles Dan.
Because he was there for the Limburger, so he was the
one. Yeah, that fucking Limburger.
Wait, Jesus. What? I don't...
You want some Limburger?
No.
I already 99% know. No, you don't know. That's the point.
We
are grown adults.
I even tried Limburger.
Brian even tried it. No. You have spent your whole life assuming Limburger cheese is terrible. You've never
tastes good. It smells like shit.
Have you tasted it?
Yes.
Oh, you have? And you actually enjoyed it?
I've had Limburger.
Oh, do you want some Limburger then?
No.
Because my stance was it tastes like shit and also smells like shit. Uh-huh. And I bought it like 3 months ago, so it's extra stinky by now. What was interesting is the package had... It had the instead of having an expiration date, it had like 5 dates, and at each of those dates, it basically like leveled up like Pokemon style. Like, this is where it gets really stinky. This is where only the insane eat it, and this is where you should throw it away. Oh, it was not good. I fed some to my dog, and then she puked.
Shit, it's a true story.
Yeah.
Are we recommendation time then?
On the recommendations, as far as I can tell.
We already talked about Guardians of the Galaxy 2, so I won't recommend that, but one of you can. Instead, I'm going to recommend American Gods. It's on Stars. Episode 2 aired yet, maybe?
Today,
episode 2. So, you know, yesterday by the time this goes up, probably. But American Gods, the book is great. The TV show is so far also being great. They're doing intelligent, different things. I was very amused by... So two things I noted. One character's name is a pun, but if you say it out loud, it ruins the pun. And so they just have never called that character by their name in the show, which is an interesting choice to make. And also, have either of you watched it or read the book?
I've read the book, and I have not.
So in the book, and this is very minor. This isn't like a spoilery thing. So in the book, there's a young one of the characters is like young. He represents like 80s corporate excess. So he has a limo and he smokes a stogie and he does coke and he is 80s excess because that's the new religion. Mm-hmm. Like when the book came out, like that was the new god was excess. And in this one, that character is very techie virtual reality glasses, you know, like, you know, all that stuff. So it's like they made the change to keep him current for
which
for
makes sense our, based on
it was a very smart change to make
because
that character has to be contemporary. It has to represent the current Zeitgeist, and correct. So that was a cool change. But Ian McShane is fucking amazing in it.
I don't have stars, and I fully I do. Ash versus the Evil. You should have.
Yeah, I have started. Raylene got the free trial so we could watch American Gods. So yeah. I'm finishing season three of
Black Sails,
Dark Sails, because it's on Hulu. Sure. Black Sails. So then I can watch season four on Stars before our free trial ends. And I need to marathon Ash versus Evil Dead, and we're watching American Gods.
So I get Stars a couple times a year. I might either wait a month or two to get it to watch all of American Gods and binge it, or I might just get it next month after a couple of episodes are out because I want to watch it. I read the book. Before I read the book, I heard everyone saying this is the greatest thing in the world, and I'm not a huge Neil Gaiman fan. I think he's decent, and the book I found the book very compelling and interesting, but it wasn't like this life changing event it is to me that some people. But I mean, I had too much
hype. It was gimmed to you,
in many ways. But I do want to see, and the show does look phenomenal. Ian McShane is
fucking amazing.
Yeah, so. It's something I will get, and plus, if I get it, then I probably will go through the Black Sails things. I probably rewatch Ash vs. Evil Dead again because that show is phenomenal.
If you're gonna get Stars like a month from now, you should marathon the first three seasons of Black Sails on Hulu. You might as well. Like I said, it's basically Game of Thrones with pirates.
Yeah,
and the first season was good. Like it went like B to A minus to A, and I'm sure season four is A plus. But so whatever.
I mean, it's pirates.
It's got to be good.
I mean, if pirates are doing piratey things, I'm pretty happy. Yeah.
They're key hauling people. What's funny is somebody does recommend burying treasure at one point, and everybody else tells me he's a fucking idiot, and that's the dumbest thing you would possibly do. They're like, we get all this gold, and you think we should just put in a hole in the ground? You're an idiot.
Nice. I like meta humor. That's the best kind of humor on shows. What's your recommendation, Andy?
My recommendation is Blaster Master Zero.
Sure.
That you can get for the Switch when they add in whatever the shop is for that, but you can get it on your Nintendo DS. It is every worth it the $10.54 that I played on it so far. It is basically
paid so far. Do you keep paying for it?
No, there's a DLC, but I think it's free.
Oh, okay. Anyway. I thought maybe it was like some
yeah, but it's the pretty much just a touched up version of the 8-bit NES version. So it's got better graphics, so it would be like a Super Nintendo version of it. But it still looks like 8-bit.
Yeah.
Overall, it's been really good. It seems a little bit easier, but it's Blaster Master. That's
just because you've played Blaster Master a million times.
No, I still am pretty horrible at it.
Fair.
You can't cheat in this one either. You can't throw a grenade and pause it.
Trick? Aww.
Yeah.
That was something, yeah. Definitely something I did.
Yeah, but it's...
Well, do that same thing against the yellow bastard in the first Mega Man game.
You had to, like, get magazines to learn cheat codes back in the day, too. You could just go to the internet, you like, spend money or go to the store and read magazines to understand these little gimmicks to get past stuff. So hard.
I remember getting one time the stupid, I think it was GamePro or something like that, put a cheat code in there, but it was their April edition, so it was a... April Fool's edition. So they had some kind of stupid cheat code where you can get Simon Belmont into your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the arcade game.
And they were lying to you.
And so I tried forever trying to get that code to work in the start menu screen, and it did not work. It was just somebody who had a very nice and clever cut and paste job of the graphics.
Nice.
And it's just weird. And like the codes, even without the magazines, like somehow they would just enter into... Someone in the grade school would hear the code in the whispers of the wind and spread it around, and we'd all know, you know, Justin Bailey and all underscores gave you the wave beam from the start in Metroid, and I never read that in a Nintendo Power, but we all just heard it somewhere.
I think a lot of them
it's probably the Channel 10 news.
Yeah.
News tonight, children, here's your cheat code for the... You actually would call it. They had numbers we'd call for a hell of assistance. You'd call 1-800 cheats. You're like, can you help on this
game? I did call the Nintendo hotline a couple times.
I had to call it.
I never called the Nintendo hotline.
I called it once. I forget what game it was for, but I needed it.
Shadowrun for the Super Nintendo, I called it for. I could not get the damn mermaids to go away from Bremerton. Turned out you had to order ice from a guy in a bar and have him deliver it on the docks because mermaids don't like cold water.
Boom. There you go.
Just saying.
But yeah, get Blaster Master Zero. It's... just playing the first stage, is the music is just like a slightly upbeat version of the original theme music. It's all done by Sunsoft as well. Also, I'm super excited. Darksiders 3 got announced last week.
Yep. Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, Andy will be happy.
That's pretty exciting.
Oh, my God. So,
have you finished 2 yet?
Nope.
Have you started 2?
Nope.
All right.
I'm playing through the first one again.
Last I saw you were fighting that spider boss that you fought the last time I was with you.
2 is much more open world and bigger. 2 is
that's
a much huge
what I've heard.
Game.
I did hear, though, that you can see where the money ran out in 2 because they have these big open worlds, and, like, the last couple dungeons are, like, start, straight line, end. Like, the maps are pathetic because they just, the plug got pulled, like, right towards the end.
That's happened Knights of the Republic 2 until the fans had to, like, rewrite the ending practically. They just ran out of time.
But, THQ Nordic got all the rights to the Darksiders series. They remade 1 and 2 in, like, a new graphic version of them that are out right now, and they just announced Darksiders 3, which is going to have Fury in it, I believe.
Which is pretty cool.
She's got a whip.
Yeah.
Famine and Pestilence.
No, these are different different
Conquest.
Ones. Different ones.
Different.
Have you seen the trailer for it?
Nah.
You should watch the trailer for it. Nah. It's pretty awesome. But anyway, yeah. Blastmaster Zero.
There you go. I'm going to recommend people should go back and play as Heroes of the Storm. We talked about it last week a little bit. I don't know if we even recommend it. But Heroes of the Storm 2 is pretty great. It's the same as 1, but they added like Overwatch loot chests and other sorts of fun things. It's just
The gameplay's the same.
There's, I mean, if you, like, JR is going to start playing, like, last time he played, there was like 26 heroes behind from the last time you log in, and there's just so much more to that game.
Yeah.
It's just a fun MOBA. And I don't know. Our group has been enjoying it a lot more lately, playing it again. So it's just kind of a fun thing. If you used to play it and liked it, I think you just give it a chance and see all the new heroes and play. And I don't know. It's got all that synergy between them and all their games. Because, like, everything, you play it with friends, you unlock this and this game or this and that game. You know, it's standard Blizzard shenaniganry.
Kaya broke my speakers.
No.
They can play with a headset on, I guess.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. You were complaining about not playing it. And I was, that next day, we were like, where's Nathan? Because we were hoping that you would log in, because Chris and I were ready to play with you.
What day was that?
I think it was after the podcast last week.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Well, the big problem is, like, for me, it's like, I want to play, like Mondays I play board games, Tuesdays I play board games, every other Friday I play board games, Wednesday I go down to the game store for a chunk of the night. So, again, Thursdays, I'm supposed to go play board games, but usually it's just vegging the fuck out. So it's like trying to...
You are the most social person who hates people.
Yes.
You do stuff every single day with people, and you hate them.
Yes. Well, there's, except for those 9.
Right.
And it's not really hate. It's just complete indifference to their existence. There is a hate list. It's also very short, but those people are going to die. it's about 9 people, and I know where they live. But that's a different topic. I can't talk about it until law reasons. My lawyer said to not talk about it in public anymore. So I'm just doing what he said.
Good times.
All right. I'm going to go home. Speaking of things to do.
Yep. Oh, Brian, I left my power adapter at your place.
Well, that sucks.
I
cleaned the basement up, and I did not see any kind of cable down there.
It was underneath your shadows table.
Shadows table.
Your big table.
There's the big table, and then there's like the little table there that has like a bunch of your models.
It's like plugged into the wall. You mean
it's plugged into the wall underneath it?
Then it's still there.
Yeah, because
I did rearrange and clean last night. I got Gloomhaven because we're playing Gloomhaven tomorrow, so I kind of set that. I always set up Gloomhaven the day before. Which I shouldn't do.
You could bring that on Tuesday, or are you off until Wednesday?
I work Tuesday.
This is the most fascinating topic for our listeners.
Listeners,
right now.
There's a power cable. Oh my God, my phone dropped the floor. Ah!
All right.
Butt. Stay Puft Domo.
Bar.
I want him in a claw machine game. Took me $4.50.